let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being is the third and final book in the critically acclaimed Diamonds in the Water series by Daniel McCrimmon's MD. Reminiscing the lives of the Waterbury family, it concludes the story that began with the grandfather's memoirs and moves forward to the principal character finally accepting circumstances he experienced throughout his life. 6 years have come and gone since New Year's Eve 1965. Now Dr. Windsor Langford Waterbury III faces yet another entangling twist of fate in the form of an additional, more devastating secret about himself and his true identity. Dr. McCrimmon's a Harvard College and Columbia University trained physician, a practicing pediatrician, who's had a dedicated interest in blending his 38 years of clinical experience and discussions on family values to integrate science, history, philosophy, and spirituality and create a life story worthy of investigation, assessment, and an analysis of a plan for therapeutic self-improvement. He's the author of Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being, the final book in the Diamonds in the Water trilogy. Dr. Daniel McCrimmon's back with us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the program.
Well, Rick, it's a pleasure to come back again to visit you.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Always fun to talk with you. And since we talked about book two, I've been looking forward to book three. It's out now and we can talk about it. You were here on middle of October last year. We discussed the background of the whole trilogy. Your reviews, the contents. And in book two, You Shall Remain Standing, you've just published book number three, the final segment. Is it a continuation of the story? Is there something distinct that might make this of interest to our audience, this particular book?
Well, Rick, you know, it is a continuation that ends on New Year's Eve of 1965. And the entire story that was shared by the principal character with his family and friends is complete at the end of part one of book three. Book three, part two, picks up 6 years later when the principal character discovers another secret, but this one is about himself. Book three is the only one of the three books with a division in the storyline.
You know, it's amazing what went into this series, and I'll talk about the end of the series there, the end of the conversation. You've developed these people so well. People have enjoyed reading through the, I think it's like six generations that you've covered in the trilogy. What's it like saying goodbye to this family? And we'll talk about that later, but right now let's go back. The first 2.5 books covers like 121 years, the lives of the principal character and his grandfather. How long is the time period we're talking about in book three, part two?
The entire part two takes place in only 2 weeks, but there are several memories that are reviewed in the six-year interim between parts one and two.
The book we're talking about is Diamonds in the Water. This is book three, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being, Diamonds in the Water trilogy, as I say, book three. Dr. Daniel McCrimmons, that's McCrimmons. You'll find the book at Amazon, all the usual places. Go to our website, you'll link on directly, get information on book three, books one and two as well. There are several parallels in the periods of history you discussed with some of the things we experienced in 2020. Thankfully, it's 2021 now, but the remnants of 2020 still hanging out there. You had finished the entire three books back in 2017, which is remarkable. What did you include in your story that's really prescient for what happened in 2020 and happening now in 2021? It's hard to believe you wrote this 3 years ago.
Thanks, Rick. You know, I have a detailed review of 1968, which includes a discussion about what the monuments should represent personally or could symbolize to anyone standing in front of them. Then I propose two new monuments to be erected around the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. I also have a detailed trip to Selma, Alabama during the March 8, 1965 bridge crossing that civil rights leader Congressman John Lewis led. And he just passed away this summer of 2020. And these episodes were pretty close in terms of what the country had to go through. And interestingly enough, in the wintertime of 1968 through winter of 69, there was the last pandemic that occurred. And so that was also quite timely in terms of actually discussing these things in 2021.
Interesting, the old history sort of has a tendency to repeat itself, comes out as this is such a book that's well done. The characters so well developed. We're talking about Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being. This is book three. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. It's so well done. Is there something about part two of book three that broadens the message of the story?
Well, Rick, in the first two and a half books, we have the principal character using his reliable and dedicated grandparents, his father, his mentor, his governess, and his friends to get him through his dilemmas. But in book three, part two, he's faced with another conflict, but at this time, he receives guidance from his young grandchildren, as well as his close friends and family.
Are there any meaningful points in this book you would like to share with our listeners? Don't want to give away too much here, but I'm sure you've got some that you would like to share because this book is the whole series is so poignant and meaningful.
Oh, well, Rick, well, the first little story is that the principal character's dear friend, who is one of the members included in the storytelling. He's sitting around with the rest of the family, his dear friend Jasper. So Jasper has waits until this part two of book three to explain to him why he always calls Dr. Waterbury water pump. And it's a touching story. I'd like to share that with you right now.
Yes, please.
As he looked around the farm when we arrived, he remained solemn until he spotted something. With his eyes fixed on an old water pump, his facial expression transformed into a delightful and refreshing smile. He said he wanted to come down to Selma to pay respects to the Jackson family, but he was very happy that he could show me the old water pump because it symbolized all the qualities he felt I possessed and why he admired me as a friend and a human being these 34 years. Look at this old reliable scrap of metal and listen to my words. I'm going to tell you straight up why I call you water pump. The pump did all the right things in getting the family through hardship and comfortable times, illness and good health during all the years, consistently and willingly. Jasper and his family were all touched by that water. It was a healer, a soother, a thirst quencher, and a dependable friend. He said the water pump was the most precious possession on the farm. It was the gift that kept on giving. With his hands back on the handle and the pump itself, and tears swelling in his eyes, I heard his heart blend with his voice. When I look back over our 34 years of friendship, I know why the name water pump fits you so perfectly. You have given so much of yourself for so many people looking for help and assistance, and you have guided them to a better place. You expected nothing in return. You kept on being pumped, and you always delivered the water. God gave you to me. I don't know what I did to deserve you, but you are the man. You are my brother. You are the water, and I'm so proud we are friends. I embraced Jasper. What reverence to bestow upon me. I was speechless and so moved by his genuine feelings. Finally, I looked him in the eye and said, "We are bound as brothers forever, and neither one of us will ever be thirsty." Then I have a discussion about the monuments. As we stand in front of the Lincoln Memorial, there is a sense of American history and freedom. This is an external representation to remind us what this country is supposed to stand for. We need some kind of internal reminder, something inside ourselves to provide that needed strength and support, that trusted old reliable friend. We have to dedicate the time to consciously establish a deep-rooted system in our souls to be embedded into a firm foundation based upon the principles of civility and humanity. The winds would have a far less chance of shifting our thoughts away from our happiness and well-being. If there is failure, it is because the winds were allowed to penetrate, either consciously or subconsciously, a vulnerable area, some weakness that is ever present like the winds themselves. So you make a lifelong commitment to work on this reminder. Since you look in a mirror daily, make it a habit to talk to yourself there, face to face, and say, I will try to remain firmly embedded in the principles of civility and humanity throughout my day. Although there is potential for me to shift away from these principles, deep down, I want to follow them for my sake, my peace of mind, and my well-being. Feel yourself speaking. It's not as silly as it sounds. I paused for a minute and then continued to converse. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lincoln Memorial could be reconstructed to include some other Americans who represented the heart of humanity for the direction that this country should take? People like Charles Sumner, Thaddeus Stevens, Frederick Douglass, Dr. Henry Ingersoll Bowditch, Helen Keller, Julia Lathrop, and the unrecognized mother with her child in one hand and a baby in her other arm would set like-minded examples. This circle of individuals would represent the Humanity Memorial. Judge J. Wattis Waring and Dr. King should be added to capture another perspective. We can now call it the Civility Memorial. It would bring an awareness of the internal reminder, a sort of mirror on our heart. The memorial would become a part of what you see in that mirror and what you say to yourself daily. This memorial would also become a permanent personal symbol of what civility means to you and future generations to come. At the base of the granite, I would paraphrase a Goethe quote to indelibly etch the reminder on our minds. He who, while observing through the mirrors of his soul, appreciates the merits of others, and while sensing their delight, takes joy as though it were his own achievement. While participating in this conscious exercise, how could he not feel that he would be the happiest of men? And finally, I can talk about 1968. What really impacted this country during 1968? The American people were sick and tired of the perpetual divide, the perpetual justification for distinctive categories that people were placed, and the perpetual fighting abroad and at home. The notion of the elite establishment was that all men were created equal, but some of us are created a little more equal. We subscribe to the brotherly way, but again, some of us a little more worthy of brotherhood. America witnessed demonstrations, sit-ins, riots, draft evasions, bombings of churches, killing of innocent, decent, law-abiding citizens, and assassinations of productive, dynamic thinkers. Yet the government's authority dismissed any changes from its usual standard protocol. The politicians continued to allow further environmental destruction and illegal deals in big business behind the backs of the public. The people were basically fed up with the authoritarian indifference to the humanity behind the self-evident truths in the Bill of Rights. They were fed up with the lingering endorsement of war, poverty, hunger, injustice, and inequality for men and women of all colors, religions, and beliefs. They wanted legitimate answers to their legitimate concerns. Even though the blueprint of the Constitution was noble, the aggressive authoritarian rule devised an agenda of divide and conquest that was opportune. The subsequent internal fighting between social and economic classes denied unity, civility, and the brotherly way. There was no mindful or balanced thinking. We have legitimized the sense of complacency by turning our heads and looking the other way. If we look the other way, how can we possibly address the root of any matter, social, economic, or political? If a scientist notices a particular finding under the microscope and then looks elsewhere, how can anything be discovered? Complacency is not in the nature of humanity. We have falsely assumed some justification to perpetuate it.
Powerful literature. I mean, so talented is our guest on the program, Daniel McCrimmon's MD. The book is Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being. It's part three of the trilogy. All of the books available at Amazon. I want to talk a little bit about the characters. Your principal character, a learned scholar, world authority in infectious disease, socially, financially secure, sharing many lessons with readers, yet he remains open to learning, continually growing as a human being. It seems like maybe a rare quality. Talk about how you develop that in the character.
Oh, well, you know, first of all, that whole discussion of diamonds in the water, he is a genuine diamond. When a jeweler examines a fine diamond, he can look at that gem under the microscope and never stop seeing a new dimension, some new quality about it. That's why I have this privileged 70-year-old man still learning, still discovering something about himself. He feels he's not too old to learn or never too smart to learn. We should all be so willing to grow throughout our lives.
You know, how would you apply the example of the principal character who you've just described so well to your own life now that you've completed this story? What lessons have you learned from being the author of this remarkable story?
Well, Rick, let me summarize it by reading the beginning of the acknowledgments to book three, because it sort of captures the fullness of what this book has meant to me throughout the years of writing it and throughout the years of studying it. This was a work to write, and then I had to study it as well. Here I am at the third and final installment of the Waterbury family saga, six generations encompassing 127 years of history, countless challenges, and notable triumphs, but through it all, good human beings sharing their life experiences and leaving their precious imprint behind to emulate and resonate over time. Books 1, 2, and 3 have unfolded a 13-year journey of detective work, creative work, personal interviews, and an overall labor of love interest. My created friends certainly touched me in ways I can't put in words. In their creation, I was privileged to rub shoulders with many of the world-renowned and honorable human beings of the 19th and 20th centuries. All the life lessons they brought to my consciousness, the patience they taught me, a deeper sense of civility, a greater awareness of philosophy and spirituality, and a more meaningful relationship with God and my fellow mortals. For the gift of completing this literary project, I am profoundly grateful. And gratitude is something to clearly recognize. Gratitude captures one's lucid understanding of what we are given, both apparent and transparent, throughout our lives. It is the yardstick measuring the intensity of radiance felt from our internal light in all our circumstances. The more grateful we are, the more brightly our internal illumination shines. Our essence, our well-being, is defined by the level of gratitude and appreciation we express for our daily living. Take time to be more grateful. We will discover a cogent reason for how we can open our eyes every morning with greater anticipation and delight. Reverend William McCurgo Taylor sums up the potency of gratitude. We can set our deeds to the music of a grateful heart and seek to round our lives into a hymn, the melody of which will be recognized by all who come in contact with us, and the power of which shall not be evanescent like the voice of a singer, but perennial like the music of the spheres.
The power of gratitude, so well stated. Our guest is Daniel McCrimmon's MD, we're talking about Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges, A Good Human Being. That's part three of his trilogy, book available at Amazon, the usual places. This is the shortest of the three books. You told me one time that book three was probably, you felt the most powerful message was in this book. Was it intended to be that way?
You know, Rick, it's very important to understand that when I was writing the book, I had to have an ending to go to. So I had to make sure that I knew where everything was going to end up. And I knew that I had power in the last part of the book, but at the same time, and didn't realize how important it would be until the whole book was actually complete. So, you know, it evolved that way. You know, book three, part one begins, more lessons learned, more challenges to face for the principal character. And but then when we get to part two, he takes time to share a little bit more of the philosophic and spiritual perspective that was placed in his life. And you begin to feel he has a greater understanding and appreciation of his own life through that introspective review.
Yes. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. A couple more questions. There's so much to talk about, and I hate to wrap up the series, but I guess we have to, unless you've got a surprise for me here in the next couple of minutes. As you look at your own life, what aspect would you want to share that was a consistent theme throughout in the trilogy?
Okay, so when I was a little boy in my mother's Sunday school kindergarten class, I heard all of my classmates there calling my mother Mom, and getting their questions answered the same way she would talk to me. So as a child, I felt myself to be a community son. And then when I graduated from medical school 42 years ago, I evolved to now become the community servant. And I have felt myself a part of the community, basically a part of the world throughout my life. So I feel a connected experience, and the children have reinforced that in me.
No, it's interesting to say the children reinforced it in you. I remember back mentioned the parting remarks, the last interview we did on October 15th, and in fact, I have them here. Somewhere along the way, opportunities are presented to constantly remind us how to conduct our affairs meaningfully. Take to heart the lessons, the introspective review, and the reminders so we all could witness a brighter tomorrow for our children, and their children's children. And that's so powerful, and I was so impressed with that, because the answers to all of our challenges, the world's challenges, are in the hearts of children, aren't they?
Well, you know, Rick, how spoiled and privileged have I been all my life to have had an opportunity to be around children, even when I was a child, and then as an adult to still remain around children. And the message is clearly stated when one is reading the book, the principal character will remind any reader about that whole issue of the children. And I hope that I had an opportunity to pass that same message to the families of my patients, because when I walked into the room to see them, to take care of them and address their concerns, I felt as I was walking in that they were taking care of me, that I was the one being given the care. And it's just been that way throughout my career, and I've been very, very, very fortunate with that understanding.
Well, it's fascinating, the reciprocation that you get in working with the young people and their parents. And what you've done with this series, this trilogy, is just remarkable. A minute or so left here. What are you working on now? Your mind is so active. You're incredibly talented as a pediatrician and as a writer. What are you working on now? You have something else you're working on?
I do, Rick.
All right, all right.
This is another book, and this is going to be about the baby, because now in the 42 years I've been in practice, there's messages, and there's been communication that I've been given through them, even though nothing has been spoken. It's been felt. And this next work will be a shorter work, obviously, but something very, very distinct in its offering to the to an audience, to a reader, and any caregiver of babies.
I am really looking forward to reading and talking about that as well. Any idea, time frame on that? No pressure on you, but just any idea when you may be publishing that?
You know, I'm gonna put myself on the line and say that I would like to have it completed before the end of this year. It's just in a very skeleton format at this point, but because the book is not going to be that long, and I don't have to really do very much history, this is more of remembrance and some other aspect of it. But I'll say, hopefully, if not this year, at the beginning of next year, so sometime around this time, maybe by next year.
That'll be fantastic, and I look forward to that. It's always a pleasure to have Dr. Daniel McCrimmons with us. That's McCrimmons. The book, the trilogy, Diamonds in the Water, book three, we talked about Diamonds in the Water, A Furnace Forges a Good Human Being. You'll find it wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to Amazon. If you go to our website, you'll link onto his Amazon page, information there on books 1, 2, and 3. Doctor, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us for these several interviews. Look forward to later in the year, first part of next year, we'll get together and do it again. Always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you so much, and I appreciate everything. So I'll look forward to talking to you again as well.
Looking forward to that. Diamonds in the Water, the trilogy. It's available at Amazon. Dr. Daniel McCrimmons, the author and our guest. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.